Amen. You were talking about pronouncing washed the right way. I've spent the last few years in Alabama.
I want to know it, brother.
Well, I'm back home now. I tell everybody that I'm finally back in East Carolina. I'm a Halifax County boy, born and raised in Roanoke Rapids. And I tell everybody that for 3.5 years, I was a missionary to the Onion people. I was in Vidalia, Georgia, a pastor down there. And then tell everybody that for 4.5 years, I was a missionary to UCLA. I was in Opelika, Alabama. UCLA, that's the upper corner of lower Alabama. Amen. And now God's called me back home, and I'm a missionary to the Middle East. Amen. We're on the East Coast, right? About middle of the United States there on the side. So, but down there, they don't say hallelujah. They say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, y'all up in Pennsylvania say hallelujah. You know, say it the right way. I'm married to a Yankee, brother. Amen. So I know. But I've got a brother-in-law from Hawaii, and they say Honolulu. Amen. That's the way they pronounce it. Amen. Daniel chapter 3. I'm trying to find some notes here. Amen. But I appreciate the privilege. I'm glad to see some brothers that I have benefited from greatly over the years. Some of you firsthand, Brother Bell has been a blessing to me over the years. Brother Bryant, Brother Joe Bryant here, Brother Mike Walls. And I'm very privileged to pastor my pastor. Brother Rob Madden is with us, and he's working out of our church, and he'd be a good man for you to have come preach for you sometime. It sort of reminds me, though, being able to pastor my pastor. I was baptized and discipled in his ministry when he was at Victory Baptist in Roanoke Rapids. Sort of reminds me of the story of the judge who had a lady that was speeding, and he looked out there and saw that she was being accused of speeding, and he realized that was his fifth grade teacher. And she gave him a hard time when he was a student. And he said, I've been waiting for this moment for years. And so when she stood before him, he said, Mrs. Smith, you may not remember me, but I remember you. And as your punishment, I'm not going to say that you have to pay a fine. You just have to write down, I shall not speed 5,000 times and turn it into me the day after tomorrow. Amen. So I'm getting back at Brother Madden. Amen. Daniel chapter 3. Let's all stand. We'll stand. Daniel chapter 3, a familiar passage of Scripture. We'll just start reading in verse number 10. Most of you are familiar with the story. Amen. Thou, O king, hast made a decree. Now, these are the Chaldeans. They have come to Nebuchadnezzar to try and get the three Hebrews in trouble. And they say, Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, the banjo, the mandolin, all the rest of them, all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And you, of course, know the story. When everyone else bowed down, these three faithful Jews stood up. And by the help of the Lord, I want to preach for just a few moments on this subject. Will the real Christians please stand up? Will the real Christians please stand up? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless this, use this message to be a help to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In the early 1970s, I read that the Fairfax County, Virginia Fire Department came up with a plan to help their firefighters, and so they bought all new equipment, all sorts of jackets and equipment to keep them from being hurt. And they had these helmets that were just amazing. These helmets had automatic lights that would turn on in the dark, and they had all kinds of neat features on them. And they went ahead and ordered those helmets to help their soldiers, but there was only one problem. They melted in the heat. Not a whole lot of help there, amen. They had been sold that, but they didn't stand the test of fire. And here we have these three young men that stood the test, amen. When the heat was on, they still stood for the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I heard one time about a little boy who went to a home from Sunday school, and his mama asked him, what did you learn about this morning? And he said, we learned about some houses. And she said, some houses? I thought y'all were going through the book of Daniel. And he said, that's right. I learned about my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. No, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are their Hebrew names. Amen. And these are those who had their faith tested. God purifies, God verifies, and God testifies through His children. Amen. When you're going through a test, and by the way, we shouldn't be surprised. The Bible says so. It says, don't be surprised when these fiery trials come your way. They are to be expected, they are to be experienced, and they are to be endured. And so we see that they were named. Verse 12 tells us, of course, that they had those names given to them, and those are the names given to them by Nebuchadnezzar. And by the way, the world's going to give you a name too. God calls us sons. God calls us saints, amen. God calls us servants, but the world calls us flakes and fanatics and fools. Well, I'd rather be a fool for Christ, amen. They're going to give us a name, amen. Nowadays, people say fundamentalist with a sneer, amen. But listen, that's a name the world's given us, just like the name Christian. The Bible says they were first called Christians at Antioch. Now, there are a lot of so-called Christians that are nothing but Christian in name, meaning people think they're Christians, but they don't really live a Christ-like life. But if we deserve to be called Christians, then we should not be ashamed of that name. They were named, they were numbered, only 3 out of thousands. That's amazing when you think about that. All those other Hebrews knew what to do. They should have took a stand, but they didn't. And by the way, now, Brother Ennis, you may know better than this, but in my reading and in my studying, I have no reason to believe that they were side by side. Yeah. I have no reason to believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were side by side. For all we know, Shadrach could have been way over yonder. Abednego could have been way over there. I mean, we don't know how far they were. There were thousands of young people. And so we don't know how far apart they really were. But you know what? I don't believe that they looked around to see if anybody else was standing.
Amen.
Amen. I don't believe they looked around. And by the way, I believe they were encouraged when they were brought in for the charges against them. I can just imagine, Shadrach is thrown in and he kind of stumbles in and they say, "Stand straight! The king is about to enter." And I can see him standing there all by himself thinking, "I'm the only one. I'm the only one that stood. But thank God he gave me the strength to stand. And if nobody else stands, I'm going to stand." And about that time, the door opens, and here comes Meshach. And he falls in and bumps right into Shadrach. And Shadrach goes, "Meshach, Meshach, what are you doing here?" Well, when the king said everybody had to bow, you know what the Bible says. Oh, you know what God told us, not to bow before anybody else. And so I took a stand. Well, that's what I did, Shadrach. And by the time old Abednego got in there, they were having camp meeting. Amen. You know, that's what's encouraging about camp meeting, brother. You think you're the only one standing over in Martin County or over in Beaufort County, wherever you're at, amen. You think you're the only one standing. And you get together at camp meeting and find out there's some others that are standing, amen, for the Lord, that are not willing to bow down, blend in, back up, amen, or boogie to the music, amen. But they're taking a stand for the Lord. And that's what's encouraging. And so we see they were named, they were numbered, and they were noticed. And by the way, you will get noticed if you stand for the Lord. They stood when they should, and they stuck out like sore thumbs. And by the way, we should stand for some things. We should stand against some things. Amen. But listen, we are to be standing on the promises of God, and we will be noticed. When the devil turns up the heat, we shouldn't lose our cool. Amen. The need is now. You've been hearing on the radio and hearing the news that I have too about what went on up the road just a little while from us, a little bit from us. It's a terrible tragedy. It really is. All of those young people that seemed like they had their whole lives ahead of them, their lives were taken away from them in just a moment. And my heart goes out. As a matter of fact, I received an email yesterday. One of our young ladies, she went up to New York, took a job. She's looking for a good church up there. And the boss lady there, her daughter was killed. Was one of those killed, a student at Virginia Tech. She's a lost lady, and I want you to pray for her. Her last name is Morris. It hurts. But you know what, brother? I heard on the radio they had this preacher, minister, as they referred to him, speak. And he talked about spiritual needs. And he said, this is a tough time that the people are going through. He said, you know, our hearts go out. He never mentioned Jesus. He never mentioned the Bible. He never even mentioned God, never even said God. Now, folks, what a great opportunity that would have been for him to tell people that Jesus is the answer, amen? That Jesus can help the hurting heart, and yes, he cares. I know he cares. Listen, we need to take a stand when an opportunity is given to us. I'm going to look real quick at a few things. Number one, I want us to see the challenge that they faced. They had to stand the test, and you and I face that same challenge. We stand today against all sorts of ungodliness, all sorts of compromise on every side, and we need to bow down, amen, not to the world, but to God. The best way we can stand is on our knees. If we will get on our knees and bow before God, then we'll be able to stand when the fiery trials come our way. I believe what Brother B.R. Lakin said. Brother B.R. Lakin said that every preacher ought to be 97% backbone and 3% hair, amen. Brother Walls, I think, yeah, you... Sorry, brother, amen. I guess it just means you got more backbone, amen. I read one time, and it was a Presbyterian church. Somebody gave me the bulletin from that church, and in that bulletin it said, please pray for our building committee, is what they were actually talking about, but they said, please pray that we can find some way to get rid of the squeak in the pulpit. I'd heard that fellow preach on the radio, and I agreed, amen. Now, they were talking about the squeak in the floor, amen, but this is not a time for us to be mice. This is a time for us to be men. Amen. That's what we need. So we see it was a challenge to their faith. The terrorism of tolerance had taken its toll then as now. The idea was just go along to get along. I imagine that when Shadrach stood up, that all the fellows on the left and all the fellows on the right said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Are you trying? Do you think you're more holy than us? Who do you think you are? You're making us look bad. Hey, don't you know the only way we're going to reach the Babylonians is if we act just like them? The only way we're going to reach them is if we just listen to their music and just go with the flow. Don't you realize that you're making us look bad? But you know what? Shadrach didn't listen to them. He listened to the Lord. Amen. And that's what you and I need to do. Listen, following the least line of resistance is what makes rivers and men crooked. And if we, listen, only dead fish swim downstream, amen? If we just go with the flow, we're going to end up just like the rest of them. They knew that the second commandment was given to them in Exodus chapter 20. They knew that they were not to bow. They knew they were not to bow down to any graven image. People say, well, a man's got to live. You know, I mean, come on, Shadrach, come on, Meshach. You know, a man's got to live, and people give you that reason. They say, well, you know, nowadays it's different. It's not like it used to be. A man's got to live. That's right. A man does have to live. But a man also has to die.
Amen.
And he will stand before his God.
Amen.
And brethren, I want to hear him say, not medium rare or raw, I want to hear him say, well done.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, the best way to get well done is to go through the fire. Amen. And I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And the only way I'm going to do that is if I take a stand. The only way you're going to do that is if you take a stand. It was a challenge to their faith, to their flesh. When the Babylonian Symphony Orchestra played all that rock music, and by the way, God made music. The devil has been distorting it ever since. It's supposed to make our hearts bow to the Lord. Amen. Like we did this morning and worship the Lord. But the world has gotten into it and tried to make music all about the flesh. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, if it gets to your knee or to a tap in your foot before it gets to your heart, amen, you got a problem. Now, I don't think there's anything wrong with music being uplifting. I like the Leadbetters, amen. I like music that gets you excited. Nothing wrong with that, but it has to reach the heart. It has to reach the heart. And so here, you talk about an altar call, amen. They didn't sing Almost Persuaded. They sang Almost Cremated, amen. They said, you don't bow, you're going to burn. So it was a challenge that they faced and a challenge that we faced. Number two, we see the courage that they displayed. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16. Stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Be a man about it, amen. He said, be strong. We need to be double barrel, buckshot, bare knuckle, by the book Baptists who won't bow down, amen. And blend in with the world who are willing to stand and be counted for. Their decision came not as as an idea of contemplation, but of consecration. And they said, we're not careful, O king. You can read on. When the king said, have y'all thought about this? They said, oh, we don't have to think about it. Amen.
Amen.
You talk to people and they say, well, let me pray about it. There are some things you don't have to pray about. Some things that are very clear in the Word of God. Amen. And they said, oh, we don't have to be careful to answer thee in this matter, O king. We know what we're going to do. We're going to stand. And if you play the music again, we're going to stand again. And if you play it 15 times, we're going to stand 15 times. King said, you're just wasting your time. And that's the way that we ought to be, is not fearing, not flinching, amen, but standing on the facts of God. Their decision was courage and not cowardice. By the way, it's interesting to see in verse 13, it was the king that got all mad. He was the one that got a little upset. They're cool as a cucumber, amen. The only one burning here is Nebuchadnezzar, amen. They're not burning, he's a burning. And he gets upset and he tells them, listen, you better bow or you're going to burn. And they say, we're not careful, O king, to answer to this matter. And by the way, I like their faith too. Look also at the confidence they had. Not only the challenge and the courage, but the confidence they had. Look in verse number 17. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Amen. I like that. From the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king, one way or the other, king. If we get out of here and go to heaven, we won't have to worry about you anymore. Amen. But if not, powerful verse right there, amen, just the beginning of that. But if not, even if we do burn, even if we do die, leave behind this old world, But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's the confidence they had. And again, that gives us courage when we see others that are taking a stand. When they saw each other taking a stand, there's unity there. There's harmony and there's victory when you have that. When you work side by side, they were confident of the protection of God, of the power of God. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Then the purpose of God. Thank God he's able to break the chains, blow out the flames and blot out the stains, amen, in our lives. Before I was saved, I was in a band and I had long hair. Y'all seen the Muppets. Y'all know who the Muppets are, don't you? You ain't that spiritual. Come on, some of y'all know who the Muppets are. Miss Piggy, Kermit the Frog, you know. Well, there was one called Animal. He played the drums. He had red hair. You with me? Well, I did too. Had a big old mop of hair, big long hair. My pastor can tell you about it. I played drums, and instead of calling me Animal, my last name is Keeter. And it's hard to pronounce. And I had roadied for a band in Myrtle Beach, and the lead guitarist of that band mispronounced my last name all the time, and he called me Creature. And everybody said, and somebody bought me a little Muppet, and they put it on the front of my drum kit and put it on the front of there and said, you're like that Animal, but you're Creature. And that was my nickname. My own sister called me Creature. To this day, my wife loves it. When we go to my hometown, we'll go to Walmart up in Roanoke Rapids, and there'll be somebody that'll stare at me for 5 minutes, follow me halfway through the store, and look behind stuff, and eventually somebody will come up to me and go, Creature? Is that you? And I tell them always the same answer. Listen, I was working at the J.P. Stevens Cotton Mill. I'd been to Atlantic City, New Jersey, and gotten involved in a lot of problems and trouble. I'd seen all the things I wanted and realized I didn't want it anymore. Read a little Gideon's Bible in the nightstand and got under conviction. Went back home and started reading the old Bible that my grandmother had given me. And the lead guitarist in the band that I was in at that time walked in one day. Here I am reading my Bible, smoking a cigarette, you know, and I'm reading my Bible. And he walked in with a book with paint splattered across the front of it. He said, my grandma, we were cleaning out her attic. She had passed away recently. He said, we found this book. And he said, you're kind of getting into religion and everything. I think you'd be interested. And he threw a book in my lap called The Second Coming of Jesus Christ by Dr. Oliver B. Green. I said, this sounds interesting. I started reading in there about the rupture of the church, you know. I said, what in the world is that? And I read, and you know, Dr. Green, every other letter, every other paragraph in capital letters, if you're not saved, you know, you need to get saved. Amen. I thought, well, man, you know, I believe in God. I always believed in God. I thought I was saved. Well, long story short, God got a hold of my heart. And one night, going to work, third shift at J.P. Stevens Cotton Mill, going up a metal staircase on my way to the warp room, I bowed on my knee right there, a hippie on the step, amen. Bowed on my knee, and I said, God, if you'll forgive me, I'll receive it, amen. If you'll forgive me, God, please save me. And I got up from there, and I've been a new creature ever since, amen. And God's made me a new creature in Christ. And then God took this creature and made I'm a preacher. That's the grace of God. Now, it hadn't been always easy. All my friends, I took a stand for things. God began to get a hold of my heart. And Brother Madden can tell you about 3 haircuts in 1 week. His daughter always laughs about that. I came to church and they'd welcome me as a first-time visitor 3 times. 3 services, amen, and I was a first-time visitor all the times. I got a haircut and I looked in the mirror and I said, I got one of them weed whacker haircuts, you know, shaved on one side, long on the other side. And Brother Madden said, well, you know, it's a start. And then I kind of got the weed whacker thing took off, and it was still bushy on one side. And he said, that's, you know, and he saw me then and recognized me. He said, that's a little better. Then I went ahead and got a high and tight. Amen. I got rid of all of it, came to church, and his daughter was the only one that recognized me. Hey, listen, God got a hold of my heart, and I had to take a stand against some things. And my childhood friend over in Cary, I still talk to him. He made a profession of faith one time for me. I don't believe he's saved. There's no evidence, no fruit. But listen, we were tight. We were best buddies since we were little kids. But you know what? I had to take a stand. And you've got to take a stand. And you know what? Even though I lost him as my best friend, I've got a friend that's even closer than a brother. Amen. I've got a friend that's even dearer to my heart, my friend named Jesus. So we see the consequences they suffered, and then we see the company they kept. Now you say, wait a minute. You've already talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You've already talked about the fact that all three of them were there and what an encouragement that is. And that's true. That is an encouragement. It encourages me to see men like Brother Bell and others that have served the Lord for a long time. That encourages young preachers like myself. But I'm talking about even better company. Because the Bible says that when they were thrown into the fire, not only did they get to see each other, But there was somebody else in the fire with him. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalm 91, "He shall come upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Thank God Jesus will be with us in the fire. Amen. He'll spend time by us. He'll speak truth to us and he'll spend the trials with us. Amen. When the hard times come, the difficult times come. The Bible says that when Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, he was astonied. Now, I told you about my past. I know what it means to be stoned. Amen. He was astonished. That means he was astonished to the point where he became like a statue himself. He said, "Wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, I can count a little bit. Come here." He said, "How many people do you see there in the fire?" And they said, "Well, we see 4 in the fire." And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Not only do I see 4, but I see one like unto the Son of God." That's a capital S, by the way. Amen. That's not a son of a God. Amen. That's the Son of God. That's God the Son. Amen. He was there in the fire and their fellowship. And you know what? Muhammad would have melted. Buddha would have burned. Joseph Smith would have been burned to smithereens. Amen. But Jesus was there in the fire with them. And the Bible says all it did was burned off their bonds. And they came out smelling better than a lot of Baptists. Don't even smell a smoke on them. Amen. They came out smelling just as pure, more pure than when before they went into the fire. And by the way, that's what it'll do to you too.
Amen.
You know, I look back at my life and sometimes I've been through the fire. And you know what? I came out on the other end better than when I went in.
Amen.
God got rid of some things in my life, some bad habits, amen, some bad attitudes, different things that God burned off. God put me in a place where I had nowhere to look but up. When I turned to Him, God helped me. So they were unhindered, they were unharmed. They went from flame to fame, amen. After that fact, they were promoted and they were delivered to the flames, in the flames, and from the flames to the point of where their testimony not only reached to the people then, but it reaches to us today. There were 4 sets of footprints in the fire. And you know what? You can still follow those footprints. They're still there. Listen, we can take it if the Lord's with us. Amen. The question is this: will the real Christians please stand up?
Amen.